effective CEOs surround themselves with team members who fill in their gaps. And the CEOs also have a very strong sense of what they're good at. And they don't have an ego about admitting that there are gaps and bringing on folks that fill that gap and then empower them.
In this episode, we speak with Stephanie Stuckey, CEO of Georgia-based Stuckey's Corporation. Stephanie shares thoughts on the power of communication in revitalizing an iconic Southern roadside brand. You're listening to CEO Voices, Leading with Communication, with your hosts, June West and Steve Soltis.
Stephanie, thank you for being with us today. And can we get started by you just telling us a little bit about Stuckey's, the history of your company?
Stuckey's was founded in 1937 by my grandfather, W.S. Stuckey, as a roadside pecan stand during the Great Depression. It was a side hustle for him to make extra money when he wasn't farming. And it happened to be a bumper pecan crop year. He rapidly realized that he could offer something that people really needed. And that's what any great entrepreneur has to begin with, is a great idea that meets a need that a lot of people have. From those very humble beginnings, my grandfather created the very first roadside retail chain. Pretty amazing when you think about it. What Stuckey's offered was a place where motoring travelers could pull over and get gas, a cold drink, a hot snack, some kitschy souvenirs, and some pecan products and candies that we made ourselves. And at that time, as we grew the stores from that humble beginning, in the 1950s, there were a couple of hundred stores. And at the peak in the 60s, there were over 350 stores. There was a real need for a stop that was welcoming to everyone. Part of our history is that we were never segregated, even though we were in the Deep South. We were a place where everyone knew that they could safely pull over and get all of their roadside traveling needs. That's what Stuckey's was. Then my grandfather sold the company in 1964, the year before I was born. It was out of family hands, a couple of corporate takeovers for decades. My father got the company back in 1985. He just had a brand. All the stores were independently owned and operated, but he was busy running his more profitable business ventures. Most prominently was Interstate Dairy Queen Corporation. He owned and operated all the franchises on the Interstate Highway system for Dairy Queen. My father sold Dairy Queen in 2013, and he and his main business partners retired. They left a skeleton crew running what remained of Stuckey's, and the brand, frankly, was losing money pretty quickly after that. And enter me in 2019, I bought the company from my dad and his former business partner. So I'm not your typical third generation family member. I did not grow up in the business and I did not inherit the business. I actually bought it. It was six figures in debt.
Wow.
I basically just bought a trademark. And within 6 months, despite a pandemic, we started making a profit.
Thank you, Stephanie. You're now leading a most fascinating rebranding and transformation efforts yourself in this American retail and B2B landscapes today with the revitalization of Stuckey's. Tell us what you envision as the ultimate picture of success for this iconic roadside brand.
First and foremost, we have to be financially profitable. My number one priority for the past 2 years has been how can we increase revenue for this struggling company? And how I was able to turn us profitable in a very short time frame was two things. First, branding, right? Tell the story of the company. My grandfather put 20% of all of his revenue into marketing. And I'm a huge believer in that. Even hard times is actually when you should be doubling down on marketing. I know it's counterintuitive. During pandemic, a lot of companies started cutting wherever they could, including marketing. The very little dollars we had and still have, we pour into marketing. And frankly, most of it I do myself because we really are scrappy. So number one was branding. It's all about storytelling. It's not sell, sell, sell. It's storytelling, storytelling, storytelling. So I'm telling the story of the brand, and the sales started to come just through sharing that history and sharing our vision. People get attracted to that. We were making our money by selling product, not from the stores, because we don't own or operate the stores. And we didn't own or operate the product, really. We were outsourcing it. I brought in a business partner. We jointly were able to purchase a manufacturing facility, and we are now making our own candy, shelling our own pecans, making our own pecan snacks from scratch that we are branding ourselves, and we are driving revenue for this company. So we went from about 100 external retail outlets to now we're close to 3,000. So the two ways you can increase sales is to get better margin on the front end, so that we got that by the manufacturing component, and then getting more places to sell your product. So that's been our strategy short term.
Stephanie, are there plans to open more brick and mortar or Stucky's branded brick and mortar stores, or what's your thinking there?
That's been my biggest challenge, because I had this vision when I bought the company of we're going to revive the stores.
Right.
Then I got slapped with the financial reality, which is twofold. One, that's not how we're making our money. We're making our money through selling the product. So accept that. And not only that, double down on it and really drive that. And two, brick and mortar stores are incredibly capital intensive.
Right.
Not only the upfront cost to build, but the operations. I don't see that's where our future lies as part of the revenue strategy. However, for the marketing and branding strategy, brick and mortar does have a very prominent role. And here's where I've rejiggered my thinking, is our vision is to have a handful of flagship Stucky stores, brick and mortar, that the corporation owns and operates, that will be very brand forward. The revenue is going to continue to be driven through consumer product goods, CPG. Like, that really is our future. But those flagship stores, I'm calling them Stucky's Oasis. I've got a whole concept for them, how they really will be a destination location on the side of the highway, and they will celebrate the road trip. There'll be a special place to pull over.
You know, some may even claim that's a little counterintuitive, especially in the environment we've been in over the past couple of years, where the focus has been really on e-commerce and home delivery and other things. How do you, from a communication standpoint, how do you frame your vision and your strategies to some folks who may, Stephanie, may think part of your strategy is going to be traditional brick and mortar? How do you win hearts and minds and communicate to folks who might be skeptical in that regard?
I think it's just being consistent and then showing that it works. The fact that within 6 months, this strategy turned a profit for a company that was six figures in debt, that had not spent any real marketing dollars since the 1970s, that the number one Google hit for Stucky's when I bought the company was whatever happened to, and also did Stucky's ever go bankrupt? This is the power of the company and the vision that my grandfather created. That's the sticking power of a company that's been around for 80 plus years. If you've survived World War II sugar rationing, if you've survived the building of the interstate highway system that bypassed all of your stores and you had to rebuild two corporate takeovers, your grandfather being ousted from the company that he built, death of the visionary founder, Arab oil embargo, and the death of the road trip, this company has resilience. Not everyone has to love our brand. We just need to have our core customers who are passionate and love our brand. I'd rather have a small number of customers who are totally dedicated than just this brand that's trying to be all things to all people. We're a brand that celebrates the road trip.
Stephanie, you're speaking to a passion of mine. A pet project I have here at Darden is to examine the role of business history and heritage. And you're so passionate about your grandfather and your father and the legacy that they've left you with this company. Can you talk to us a bit about what are some of those key insights that you learned from your grandfather and your father that drive you today?
My grandfather's primary focus was his employees. He firmly believed you take care of the employees and they're going to take care of the customers. So he really made sure that his employees had ownership in the company. He had a structure where the franchisees owned and operated the stores, and it was usually a husband-wife team that lived in the back of the store. They owned usually about 70% of the store, and that remaining 30%, my grandfather would often front the money for them to start the business. He would give that remaining percentage to his employees. the candy plant workers had some ownership in the company. It was that sense of we're all in it together. My dad is still very much alive. He calls and texts me almost every morning, usually around 5 a.m. He is really driven by making sure that we have cash flow. What's your cash on hand? Don't grow too much that, yes, you can be very profitable on paper, but if you needed to get money out of the bank tomorrow for something essential, can you do it? It seems so fundamental. It seems so basic, but my father drills that in me constantly, and it's great advice.
Steph, how do you frame your narrative? How do you frame the story to external as well as internal stakeholders? I know the internal side, that's a journey that's just beginning, but maybe if you could just kind of focus on, you know, what is that story? You talked about nostalgia and heritage. What else comes into play when you tell the story of Stuckey's?
Yeah, I decided I was going to visit every store. I started documenting my travels on social media and sharing the journey, our comeback journey. What I quickly learned was the post that got the most engagement, for me, it's not just people liking your post, but actually having a conversation with you. You want people to connect with your brand on an emotional level, on a conversational level. You want them to reach out to you and engage. And the posts that did that were the posts where I really didn't talk about Stuckey's as much. I talked about the road trip. People get really excited and they start sharing their stories. Then I realized it's the road trip. So that's how you bring back your brand. I'm sharing a common experience that people can relate to. Even if they've never heard of Stuckey's, there are a lot of people who love to travel by car. The stories I'm telling defy age limitations. It's people who love to road trip. You can be 8 and you could be 80 and you could love to get in the car and explore. Here is the crazy thing that I never anticipated that has just started happening within literally the past couple of weeks. I am getting an insane number of people reaching out to me every single day with photographs of buildings that used to be Stuckey's. We now only have 20 standalone brick and mortar Stuckey's that are still operating as Stuckey's. At our peak, we had 368 stores. Almost all of them are still standing. There's some 300 Stuckey's buildings out there. And because we had a very distinctive architecture with this sloped roof, with, I'm talking beautiful internal architecture, it looks like my grandfather was inspired by a ship's hull. It looks like an upside down ship with wooden beams and chandeliers. People have been sending me photographs of stores, Stuckey's, that have been repurposed. And some of these store owners have been reaching out to me, some saying, I want to convert my store back to a Stuckey's. And I've got a handful who've said, hey, we've got a successful business operating and we used to be a Stuckey's. We want to sell your product. Can we sell pecan log rolls? I mean, how cool is that? Like, it's just happening organically by telling the story. So if you just kind of put it out there, it'll happen.
Talk a little bit about your congressional leader in Georgia, state politics for several years, involved in environmental activism. What are some of the communication lessons that you've learned as being an activist and a politician? And correct me if I'm wrong, you're also a lawyer. Is that right, Stephanie?
Yes, I've had three very different careers. So practicing law as a litigator, then a legislator, and then an environmental advocate. I think the current that runs through all of those, there's a couple, but one of the main ones, really in every single role, I was advocating for the underdog. Part of me has always felt this affinity for the scrappy comeback journey. That's very much what Stuckey's is. I learned pretty quickly as a litigator and a legislator that you have to stand on your feet and persuade and passionately believe in what you're doing. Even in my criminal defense days, yes, I had some very challenging cases with some difficult clients, but I believe passionately in the system of justice in this country and the Constitution. So if you have some core belief that you're passionate about, and be able to cling to that and communicate that, that enables you to advocate for causes that sometimes are a little hard for people to relate to. All of that has helped me with Stuckey's. We're a comeback brand. We've had some tough times. I have to pitch Stuckey's to consumers, to employees, to investors. So that skill and that passion is something that's transferable from career to career.
Stephanie, leadership communication has been a required course at the Darden School since the inception of the school back in the 1950s. You just mentioned how important that is to you and that skill set that you have. Could you talk to our students about that in terms of why communication is so important in business?
I would add not only communication, but creativity, because the two go hand in hand. The ability to communicate in writing or orally in a way that connects with people, that requires a certain amount of creativity and sort of out-of-the-box thinking. Too often, that skill set is not elevated. So I'm delighted that the Darden School is prioritizing that. CEOs feel in order to communicate, we have to do it in a way that's very buttoned up, so to speak. And I think to just tell a story and just think about how you're building community. You're not trying to sell a product. You're not trying to sell a service. You're not trying to push sales. You are trying to build community. And what is your community? For me, that's people who love to road trip. For people in business school, think about what's the community you want to build.
And I know you're moving into the consumer product space in a big way. How do you communicate, you know, the consumer product sustainability of Stuckey's?
It's a huge challenge. And I'm learning now that I'm on the corporate side that sustainability has its challenges for those of us who really want to do the right thing. We also have to be mindful that I've gone from having 10 employees when I bought Stuckey's to during peak pecan season, we've got about 120. So I have 120 people who are dependent upon me. And sustainability has three legs. It's the environment. There's the social aspect, the environmental justice aspect, but there's also the economics of it. So you have to have all of those equally elevated in order to be truly sustainable. I'm doing sustainability in steps that make financial sense for our company. We're continuing every day to add components. Initially, we're focusing on local. Our number one product is the pecan. We started as a pecan stand on the side of the road. We continue to be true to the product that we sell is based around that humble little nut that is grown in Georgia. It is the only native nut that's edible in this country. It's really sustainable. I mean, pecan trees grow naturally in our environment, and they're not water dependent. The almond is very water dependent in a drought-ridden area. So our number one commodity is great for the environment. It's natural, it's local, it's healthy. And we source all of our pecans in Georgia. We're not shipping them all over the world to get to our shelling plant. And we use every bit of that pecan. We use the shells that we give to a local cogen facility in Augusta to power a paper manufacturing plant. We use all of the pieces in our baked products. That's why we have a candy plant. The candy plant was founded to deal with the pieces so that they wouldn't go to waste. The pieces that are really super small, we grind up into meal. So we sell pecan meal. We sell the halves. We sell them in shell. So we're starting with the product. We're celebrating that we're Georgia grown certified. And then we're adding stuff. But the biggest challenge for CPG, for consumer product goods, is packaging. That's the biggest challenge, getting product that is shelf stable with packaging that is biodegradable, very hard to achieve. Because unless you're refrigerating and paying all the cost and all the environmental issues related to refrigeration, you're not going to have a product that's going to last. So I would love for some super smart business folks out there to come up with sustainable packaging. And I'm not talking about, we use recycled content, corrugated cardboard, but the actual, like what you put your food in, it's been a challenge.
Stephanie, you're incredibly busy with lots of demands on your time. What advice do you have for us about maintaining a good quality of life and being as passionate and productive as a CEO?
effective CEOs surround themselves with team members who fill in their gaps. And the CEOs also have a very strong sense of what they're good at. And they don't have an ego about admitting that there are gaps and bringing on folks that fill that gap and then empower them. So this is what gets to the quality of life. You get the right people. You know, it's like that From Good to Great book, which I've read three times. You get the right people on the bus, sitting in the right seats. You get those people on your team, and then you let them do what they need to do and give them the flexibilities.
CEO Voices examines the communication that enables transformational leadership. June West is Associate Professor of Business Administration and co-founder of the Darden Leadership Communication Council, along with her colleague, Steve Soltis. Soltis is the former head of executive communication at the Coca-Cola Company and lectures at Darden. This podcast is a production of the University of Virginia Darden School of Business.